Oh, man. I get excited about what God is doing, especially when I read the Word and the value of God's Word and how it reminds you and me of what He's doing. Yes, there's war. Yes, there's all the things that we see. And then if you turn on the news, you hear everybody's opinion of what is, what isn't, what, you know, what should be. I'm just telling you, I'm living in the time frame of when prophecy's coming to pass. That is changing a whole area of our world. And I've grown up watching. I remember watching what took place 47 years ago. I saw the devastation and the murder and all the different, when Reagan became president and they released all the captives, beaten, destroyed physically, emotionally, and saw the evil that was there. You could see it in the eyes. And they played like they were spiritual. I tell you what, they were spiritual. It was demonic. And God is turning it around. So today, as we continue the series, tune in and hear God. Clock, be still on the wall there. Please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is what I want to talk about today. When you value the voice of God, you will then make a commitment to spend time with Him. If you value the Word, then you're committed to be with the Word. So we're going to learn how to set up an atmosphere. I'm going to be very, very practical today. I'm just going to give you just some of the things that I do, that I've learned to do, that help me to have a focus on the Word with everything that's going on. I mean, you know, like yesterday, my day, just all day long, just from this thing to another, Friday, same thing, Thursday, same thing, you know, all week long, just, and I've watched some of you were at ball fields from 7:30 in the morning till 7 o'clock at night, and because your children, you love your children, you want them to play ball, all the things that you do, some of you got off work this morning, and you're here. And I'm going to have someone with a marshmallow. And if you fall asleep on me, they'll just throw it at you. But here's some great news regarding this series and the truth. God is speaking, and we have the ability to tune in. We have the ability to hear His voice. In 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, it says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli." Now remember, this is when God called him and spoke to him. Watch what the end of the verse says. "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days." I'd covered this scripture quite a while ago. And I covered the word here. But let me remind you what I taught before. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. In our language, rare means a limited supply. All right, a limited supply. That's not what this Hebrew word means. Our word means limited supply. We're talking about hearing the voice of God. Limited supply. No, that's not what the word's saying. The primary definition of the Hebrew word is the word valuable. Valuable. It can say the word of the Lord is precious and was valuable. This word, rare, tells us God wasn't speaking much at that time, but His words aren't rare, not limited. But at that time, so when He did, they were told that it's got to be valuable to you. When God speaks, value it. All right? So I'm saying to you, is when you are in situations in your life and maybe you're thinking today that God hasn't spoken to me lately, that it's been rare. What I'm asking you to do is to create an atmosphere around you, a lifestyle, a practical lifestyle that you set up to where when he does speak, that you value that word. How many of you know that one word from God can change everything? So when we understand that and we recognize that, then what we do is then we begin to look at our lifestyle and what are we doing to prepare ourselves, all right? So that's where we're going to go here today. And I'm going to actually show you scripture about that, how God even asks us to prepare ourselves to value his word. So when he speaks, we learn and we grow and we act on that because it's so much more valuable than gold and silver. So value his voice. Now, these practical insights, you know, are because it's me. I'm very, very practical on stuff. Most important, if you want to hear God, you're going to have to set a value on hearing God or hearing his voice. So how do we do that? I'm going to give you four things very quickly. First of all, set an appointment. I was talking to the young lady that cuts my hair this week, and I told her, I said, one day, you know, will retire, and when I do, I don't know what to do with my life because I live by my calendar, appointment after appointment. And so I've learned to set, but it makes me happy because Scripture actually tells us, basically, in a practical way, plan time with God. Plan an appointment with God. So Exodus 19, 10, 11 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes.'" Because they stink. No, that's not what it says. "And let them be ready for the third day." Be ready for the third day. "For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people." Now, some people would get real like, ooh, you know, and then they'll say, oh, when you ask God, you got to wait till the third day to hear him. No, that's not what the scripture is saying, all right? God can speak to you immediately, or you can hear his voice the next day. But in the process of hearing God, what are you doing to prepare yourself to hear God? So in this reality of that scripture, can't you just see the preparation of just valuing and hearing God's voice? "And when the blast of the trumpet," verse 19, "sounded long and became louder and louder," watch what happens. "Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice." Moses spoke, then God spoke to Moses and the people. Now this Old Testament, God spoke to the prophet, king, and the priest. So it's literally biblical that Moses spoke, God spoke to Moses, and then Moses shared what God said to the people. And sometimes the people would hear a voice, all right? So what we don't see in this is when you really look at Scripture, God set an appointment with Moses. God set an appointment with his people. God said, "Have the people get ready today and tomorrow, and on the third day I'm going to speak to them." Now, this is practical, but this is a statement. I'm going to read it slower so you catch it. But a misappointment is a disappointment. There are a lot of believers that are disappointed with God because they missed an appointment with God. They didn't prepare themselves. They're busy running around taking care of all the chaos. With all the busyness of my week this week, just crazy busy, all different people, all different things, and the reality is I sat last night and I had an appointment with God. And God spoke to me. Now, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I was in the Word of God. And there's some things that he spoke to me about from my own personal life. And it's just an amazing thing. So you'll probably hear it in about 6 months or so in a message. It's amazing how other things are so important that we even set appointments to meet with people we don't like. But we don't set an appointment to meet with the most important person in the world, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So here's a question. With all other appointments you have, how important to you today, or how do you value spending time with God? I had once told you in the last 20 years of something that took place when I had moved from here and my wife and I and the kids, and we went to North Carolina to pastor a church. A few months after I took the pastorate of the church in North Carolina, a gentleman called me and said, I had sold my business, I made quite a bit of money, and I'd like to meet with you in the morning. Okay. Most of my peers would say, I'm up at 4. Now I said, oh, that's awesome. Now I have an appointment in the morning. Can I meet you maybe 10 o'clock, 10:30? Will that work for you? And he said, well, yeah, I thought maybe we could meet earlier. He says, and then he just asked me, he said, what's your appointment? I said, well, at this time on this day, I spend an hour praying and proclaiming the word of God. I read the word out loud on this specific day because this is valuable. And I asked him, I said, is this an emergency? I mean, is this? He said, oh, no. I just, you know, I'm an early riser and I'd like to. I said, well, would you be able to wait? And, you know, someone might want to say, or that little red devil on your shoulder say, he's given money to the church. Meet with him. He might not give it. And see, I value. Oh, boy. Long week. I value spending time with God more than I do making money. I value reading the Word of God and making appointments with God than I do with anybody else in the world. Whether it's the President of the United States or anybody else. Now, because I walk in wisdom, I'm able to meet with people because I set appointments, set standards, like I said earlier, that I live by my calendar. Because from this thing to this to this, people text me, are you busy? Can you talk with me? And I'm with somebody. I'm doing something. I text. I can call you at such and such time. So I live by that all the time. But what I'm trying to bring to you is he came in the meeting, he said, well, here's my tithe check. And then he said, I was so astounded by what you told me. He said, I'd like to do one more thing. And he said, what is the indebtedness of the church? Because they had a loan when I got there. And I told him, he pulled out his checkbook and he wrote out a check and paid for it. I can't say, but I'm going to say it. I can't say because of I valued spending time with God, that's the reason why he wrote the check and paid off the loan. And we're talking thousands of dollars. I can't say that. But I will tell you that when you honor God, he'll honor you back. And these are the things, the practical things. And it's, everybody has time. I'm very busy, but everybody has time. I have time for work. I have time for play. I have time to work out. I have time to be with my grandchildren. Oh, my kids too. And I have time for that. I have time to rest. And especially I have time for my wife. But I'm busy. And I have to live that way. So in practicalness is, that's what I'm saying to you, and that's what God is saying to us. Set an appointment with me. I know I've given you these gifts, and you're busy with your gifts. But set appointments with me, because I want to talk to you. Then, I don't believe that I've said this to you in the 20 years. Then he said, oh, I want to do one more thing. He said, I want you to teach that. And he goes, I know you do conferences and seminars because you've done two already in the past 3-4 months that I was there. He said, I want to give you this. He gave me a check for $10,000. I had him write it to the church. And he said, I want you to teach this. And that check supplied the monies for the seminar that I did for years as a supervisor called The Anointing of the Associate, because I was an associate minister for 18 years. Now, all of that information comes because I set appointments with God. I hear the voice of God. I realize that God understands my lifestyle. And I listen to him, help me, Lord, create the atmosphere in my life so I can do better. The reason why I work out is so I can do better what I do here. That I can do the things and I don't get tired out as sense. Yes, I get tired, but I can do the things that I do. And I'm learning later in life about Sabbath. And in Sabbath, a lot of time in my Sabbath, I have appointments with God for a little time. So again, what's more important than to hear God? And we don't set appointments to do so. Because when you set up an appointment, you set a date and a time and a place. What day, what time, what place? Here's another statement you got to hear. God comes to a prepared atmosphere. God comes to a prepared atmosphere. The reason God's presence is here today and all our services is because we're prepared. Every avenue of the ministry here has been prepared. We didn't just sit around and look at the clock and say, oh, it's not Sunday yet. No, it's prepared. Everything. Text messages yesterday, this morning, I texted two of my assistants, I think it was like 6:15, and just asked them, you know, to do some things. Always setting things up for the presence of God. The reason why we have the presence of God. The fine arts team sets appointments together and they set the standard. They prepare themselves to give out so that we can receive and give out ourselves. So I'm simply saying it's not unspiritual to set an appointment with God because it's very important to tune in and hear God. Here's the second thing. Be still and worship. Be still and worship. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Exodus 14:13. Before they crossed the Red Sea. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. 2 Chronicles 20:17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you are in a battle today? You're battling something in your life. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. I want to say to you, the more you hear God and set appointments with God, the less you'll have to fight your own battles. Standing still is the hardest thing to do for most of us, for me, and worship. In 2 Chronicles 20, God directed them to send the singers out first in the battle. Pastor Ryan teaches on these things regarding worship. It's probably one of the best teachings there you can hear on that. And you need to understand what God is doing. He is setting us up for appointments with Him. Appointments of miracles, appointments of healing, appointments of prosperity. Why? Because we set it up to spend time with Him. They didn't set up the warriors in front. They set up the worshipers. While they worshiped, the three armies who were encamped against them turned against themselves and killed each other. So the warriors didn't even have to fight. Why? God showed up. God shows up to prepared atmosphere. God shows up when you are ready. Let me ask you this. This afternoon, would it be all right if God showed up to your battle? Tomorrow morning when you go back to work and you've been thinking about something all weekend, wouldn't it be great if God showed up? How about you younger people? Some of you are going to college. Some of you are getting a new job. Wouldn't it be great when you went to work that God showed up? That you recognize that God is there for you, and then the favor of the Lord, they believe it's Proverbs 3:4, so shall you find favor in the sight of God and man. Because God showed up. Why did God show up? Because you set an appointment with Him before, you prepared yourself, and you sat still and worshiped before you went to the battle. And God shows up. So we're going to talk about reading the Word and praying, but here's the problem. The problem with that, reading the Word and praying, is most people go straight to prayer and reading the Word. But I'm saying to you, the most important thing you can do if you're going to ever meet and hear God is to be still in worship. Before you even get into prayer and before you get into reading the Word, worship. And I know some, you say, but I can't sing. I can't, you know, that's okay. That's okay. God gave you your gifts. He didn't give you Sister So-and-so's gift with that beautiful voice. But the most important thing that you can do if you're going to ever meet and hear God is to be still and worship. So intimacy with God produces intimate miracles. There are miracles that happen in my life that no one knows about. There are things that I'm believing God for that no one knows about. Everybody thinks that having a miracle is everybody needs to know. I got to testify. No, there are many miracles in my life that has happened in my life that only God and I knew about. But I knew God did it. And so in my life, I don't walk around and say, look what God did for me. You know, I'm spiritual. Look what God, no, I'm just Gary. I'm like you. I put my socks on the same way, like most of you. My brother struggles because of, he had a stroke and he struggles putting on socks. And so my brother, I call him MacGyver. Anybody remember MacGyver? He can fix and do anything, right? So he created this system where you see it online now where people make those. But he created a system where he could put the sock on and uses this and puts it and he pulls it on. Man, Larry, how do you even think about stuff like that? You got too much time on your hands. But I'm just like you. And you're like me. We need to make appointments with God. We need to worship and be still. So intimacy with God produces intimate miracles. Set an appointment, be still and worship, and here's the third. Pray and read. Mark 1:35, notice a time and a place. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Psalm 119:147, David is speaking. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. I rise early in the morning, I go pray, and I read your word. Okay, now, I will just give a little caveat here. Some of you, unlike me, are not morning people. If you got up at 6 o'clock, you're no good for 3 hours, right? Okay, make your time at 5 in the afternoon or 7 at night. Whatever works in your life, you do that. He cries for help, prayer, and hope in your word is reading the word. So let me tell you what to pray now in a very quick way and what to read. Pray for what is on your heart. If your family is on your heart, pray for your family. If there's a burden on your heart, pray regarding that burden. If your finances are on your heart, pray for your finance. If your health is on your heart, pray for your health. Meet with God and pray what's on your heart. Then read the word. But what I'm telling you is when you begin reading the word, your prayer will change. It's no longer about you're always praying about what's going on in your life, which is important. But I'm trying to, with my facial features, I'm trying to get you to understand, you know, God cares for you more than you care for you. God has greater answers of your life than you do. I learned that a long time ago. I learned a long time ago that my smarts is ignorance regarding God. So he's given me his smarts, and it's called the Word of God. So when you do that, start praying that way. Pray about that, but get in the Word, and before you know it, you're praying the Word. You're praying God's will, not yours. Now, before I tell you where to read, let me just say, use the version that's easiest for you to read in your quiet time. What I read, I'll tell you what I read so it can help you. I read from the New King James Version. Then I read it again from the Message Bible. And then because of my personality, I read from the Amplified because I amplify everything. I do. When I explain something, sit down because you're going to hear a long story. I amplify everything. It's because of the gifting in me. So that's what I read. New King James Version, the Message, and the Amplified Version. Now when you study, go to the exact, I'm going to call it equivalency version, Hebrew and Greek. So in the reality is make sure the Bible you're using is equivalent to the Hebrew and Greek. And you can look it up and find out. So there's many translations, and there's some that translate something a little bit. Some remove the blood a little bit, and all, you know, you can go on and on and on the way the world does and pick everything apart, and so nothing's good. But I grab a hold of these three because two of them are really good, and one of them is just a guy who was writing to his children so they could understand the word. That's called the Message. So here's a question. People ask me all the time, and I'll give them answers like the book of John if they're new, or, you know, if they want a subject, I'll tell them, read certain books, you know, in the Bible about that subject. But where do I read in the Bible? You ready for this? on the inside. Amen. On the inside. Just read. Don't get weird on that. Anywhere on the inside. And I want to say this to you. If you go on our webpage, we actually have a reading schedule that you can make an appointment every day and read what that schedule is. And if you do that, you'll read through the Bible every year. So you could do that too, Church Center. And we, you know, people can help you with that. Grab a hold of people, and periodically we advertise it again. We put it out in the foyer. But do that. I believe online that you can go ahead and get that too. So just the reality is, just read the Bible. Here's the last, and I'll close with this. After you do that, listen and write. Some call it journaling. And we do that, I do that. I have books in my library that I've journaled many times, and I have those books full of my journaling when I read scripture. So what you do, I know this is practical, but are you liking this? All right, it's simple. Set an appointment, be still in worship, pray and read, but then don't leave your prayer time unless you listen and write. Listen for the voice of God or listen to your spirit. Write down what you're hearing. What did God say to me in the Word today? Write it down. Or God speaks to you. All right? Okay, God, I give you 2 minutes. It's a lifestyle. Sometimes you don't have 2 minutes. Sometimes you have a minute. And you got to go to work. And you can't be late. How many of you know that? Some of us don't know that yet. You can't be late. Psalm 45, verse 1, out of the Message Bible, see? My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. There it is, right there. 1 Chronicles 28:19, David's talking about the tabernacle. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans. So when he wrote it out, revelation took place. He heard God. Habakkuk 2:2, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that it may run who reads it. So this is just about hearing God. Let me say a few more things and I'll be done. So write your prayers, write what God is saying on the passage of Scripture. What will begin to happen, you will go from writing in the third person to writing in the first person. It will become you. The Word will become you. You will begin believing, understanding it. It's revealed to you, and you're writing as you wrote it the first time. So you will be a writer. I believe the Word is saying to me, I am faithful and I am gracious. You can trust me. You can put your confidence in me. I'm a child of God. You can put your confidence in me, because I put my confidence in him. See, I'm writing as the first person. It is becoming me. That's what happens when you tune in and hear God. You then begin walking like the Word of God. which is God's will. Now, I told you a few weeks ago, my greatest memories of the 50 years of being a believer is not what God has done for me, even though I'm grateful for my salvation and many things that God has done for me and my family, but my best or greatest memories is what he has spoken to me. The intimacy of God, my Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, the Holy Spirit, love me. Like I said earlier, I'm here. God had me in mind when 2,598 years ago, he told Jeremiah about what was going to happen in Iran. And of course, Pastor Dan chimes in, "What about me?" And all of you, and then other people, me, yeah, all of us. God had us in mind. And so, and that's what, when I was reading that, and Pastor Dan and I were talking on the phone, and I read it again, because when we talked, I'd been reading all the scriptures about Iran and stuff. And so when I read it again, that's what I thought. God, you wrote this for me, because you knew I was going to be here. And see, there it is. That's the intimacy of God. We laugh at that, but I say that's a reality. My daddy loves me. Father God loves you. And he wants you to set an appointment with him. Intimacy with the one who loves you. Why? Because you value this enough to make time for it. Let's all stand. Oh, hallelujah. You know what I felt when I was teaching? Holy Spirit was telling me, I felt it, and the Holy Spirit was telling me that people are being freed up from all the guilt and shame of their inability of what I'm talking about. Because, you know, it used to be is when you teach something like this, everybody's going, I know, I'm going to go home, I'm going to read the Bible because I haven't read it for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. No, you didn't feel that today. You know what you felt? God loves you, and you just received a phone call, and God is setting up an appointment with you. And he's just asking you to go answer it. How do you do that? Prepare yourself. In Jesus' name, I proclaim an overwhelming blessing upon this house. To the east, west, north, and south, Lord, I proclaim the many, the hundreds that are watching online, that the blessings of God will overwhelm your homes. And in Jesus' name, we will see the miraculous in the areas of our life. Why? Because we've made an appointment with you. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. And we are preparing ourselves daily to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. See you tonight, 6 o'clock.